Welcome, refugees and strangers. Take sanctuary here, my refugee friends, to get away from destructive forces such as sickness, addiction, false guilt, powerless Christianity, or long diatribes. If you are a stranger to Jesus, by all means read a few posts to see if something strikes you as real and really important. Perhaps the Spirit of God will assure you of the truth that is in Jesus. Having been a Jesus person since the 70s, in 2013, I stopped calling myself a Christian because the word means too many things, some of them quite unchristian in the better sense of the word. You can call me anything, but I bring the point up to identify myself as someone who loves and longs to know Jesus. I hope the posts on this site reflect and encourage that in you. Lewis. And now the longer continuation. My background, the Jesus movement and its aftermath. My trajectory. In the early 1970s, I was part of the Jesus movement. Movements come and go, of course, living up to their name. Behind and beyond this movement is the hope that we are not alone, not orphans, and not destined to fade into oblivion. In other words, into complete death, a felt reality for many, many people. Couple youth with the expectation of meeting the creator of the universe, add a bit of counterculture tang, and you have the ingredients of a movement. In our innocence, we had joy. We had insights. We had each other. Some of us prayed all night at times. We felt that the ennui and insignificance to which we had grown accustomed was passing. A better future was now. Decades later, I look at a bleaker, darker landscape. The skeptics were mostly right. Much of it passed. Parts have become politicized in ways that would make Jesus turn over in his grave if he were still there. Much of what passes for Christianity has ossified, once again, into an institutional niche that makes sense only if one likes institutional niches. However, there is a remnant, among us and within us, of something that still longs for meeting the creator of the universe. The mission, then, is to help the remnant, myself and any readers, to see the unseen reality of Christ and to value rightly his role in the world. More on the Jesus movement. In the 1970s, the movement offered a drug-free high to teens and young adults who were seeking something beyond materialistic goods, the sequel to the hippie movement. It was aptly named movement because it seemed to arise out of nowhere. In my case, during the summer of 1971, one friend went to Minnesota and heard the gospel, returning to high school that fall to talk to us about Jesus. Others who had gone to church all their lives came out of the woodwork and began sharing their faith. One prayer meeting in the basement of a home on Barranca Mesa in Los Alamos, New Mexico, had about 100 high school and junior high school students each Friday night. Churches that most of us had ignored all our lives were opening their doors to us, not only inviting us to visit, but also to share our experiences. Parents, who, to much of my generation, were remote and inaccessible figures, now joined us in our prayer meetings. Several of them, including several scientists, now teaching the good news to us. Bands sprang up overnight, singing a new song of hope, love, and joy. The role of music would be hard to overestimate, at least in the circles in which I traveled. Larry Norman is generally recognized as the father of music for the Jesus people, but also many other bands surfaced, full of the creativity that worked in secular musicians in the 70s. Minimal cliches and commercialism, maximal variety and authenticity. Here's to the multitudinous talented people who found that Jesus inspired them to put their artistic talents to play. Everywhere we turned, we heard a new song. The aftermath. The Jesus movement was slowly absorbed by traditional forms of Christianity. Ad hoc prayer meetings and random gatherings slowly merged with Sunday church services. These institutionalized meetings were more reliable historically, of course, but to many of us, they were less interesting than the spontaneous counterculture movement that attracted us to Jesus. Over the decades, I attempted to work with and find value in these weighty institutions. In my case, this meant attending Protestant churches, mostly non-denominational. While I still respect many aspects of the best moments of these organizations, the representations of Jesus that excited me in the beginning became increasingly harder to experience. As mentioned, I eventually stopped calling myself a Christian, as I explained in a talk. and settled on calling myself a person who loves Jesus. The institutional and historical baggage from Christianity has created so many obfuscations of Christ that I threw the label overboard like ballast, so that I could keep looking for and seeing Christ, if only at a great distance. You could say I'm label sensitive and feel obliged to defend the merits of a label. Dropping the name of Christian was, of course, for mental relief, but not something I expected of others. Since dropping that label in 2013, things have gotten much worse, in America at least, in the 2020s. I'm deeply saddened and troubled by the forced marriage between Jesus and nationalism, as well as that between the gospel and lamentable conspiracy theories. Both conservative Protestant and Catholic circles have been infected. I breathe a sigh of relief knowing that I am not a card-carrying Christian with the ostensible duty to either defend or reform the various institutions. I pray for and focus my attention on people, all the while recognizing that institutions are here to stay and need leaders and members who are filled with the Spirit of God. And so I pray. After decades of refusing to say much publicly about my faith, I am now gaining confidence. The good news about Jesus has won my deepest respect and inspires me to write. This is the home page, the welcome page, on my website, mygod.myplaza.xyz. This was read February 11th, 2024. Thank you.